Welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Give Sally a massive welcome. She heads up all the children's work in the church, so give her a big welcome as she comes to share this morning.
Good morning. I got that bit right. That's the difficult bit. Yay. Right. Now, good instructions there from Pastor Clive. Small people. I've got two more. If you've got pens and paper or electronic devices, you don't need them. Okay? So would you like to put them away? Because I suspect that's possibly why that was the most pathetic under 10 shout I've heard in my entire history of life.
I did it!
I know you did it, son. And it was banana milkshake fueled, wasn't it? It wasn't Shreddies. Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Right. It's family service. Family service rules apply. And we know now that that means it's okay. We've got a lot of trainee mighty men and women of God at the front, and they might get a bit noisy, but they're here to learn. And so we're all going to be patient with one another as we learn together. Awesome. Now, last week, this is for you if you are in J24/7, because we've got to catch up with the grown-ups this week, because last week, Pastor Clive brought a message to everybody about King David and how he made a huge, huge mistake. He made a mistake that meant for generations after his mistake, things kept going wrong. And that's sometimes what happens when you make a mistake and you don't go and do things the way God wants. There's repercussions or consequences or things happen because you made a mistake. And the reason that he made the mistake was because he wasn't ready for battle. It says in the Bible, it was the season when the kings go to war. A bit like the season where we go sail shopping, or the season when we go to faith camp, or the season where we eat lots of casseroles because it's cold outside. This was the season when the kings went to war, and this king was not ready for the battle. And then the second mistake he made was that he was not where God's presence was. He had stepped away from where the presence of God was. So those were his two mistakes. Now, we're not going to make those mistakes, are we? So we're going to get ready for the battle, and then we're going to get into his presence. That's the whole plan for the morning. Get ready for the battle and get into the presence of God. So we don't make the mistakes. That's a lot of what we can learn from the scripture, from the Bible, how not to make the same mistake again. So that's what we're going to do. So that's a brief, very brief synopsis of last week's word for J24/7, guys. So you're up to speed now with what we're going to do. Now we're going to look at the book of Ephesians this morning. We're not going to do the whole book. I would like to do the whole book because it's phenomenal. The book of Ephesians, can anybody tell me if it's in the Old or New Testament? Children. Old or New Testament? We're grown-ups, don't know, so you'll have to tell me. New? New Testament, Steve. Well done. Good boy. If I had a lollipop, you could have one. New Testament. And it was a letter that was written by one of God's men, and he wrote it to a church that was doing quite well. They were actually doing quite well. A lot of the letters that are the books in the New Testament are actually written to correct things that had gone a bit wrong. But this church was doing quite well. It could cope quite well with teaching. And what was happening was they would be giving a little bit more teaching. So I like to think of it as an email rather than a letter because it fits in a little bit more. So it was an email to the church of Ephesus, but he copied in all the other churches in the region because it wasn't just for them, it was for lots of other people. That's the modern version of explaining how that was written. It has six chapters, so here's my first challenge for you this morning. There are 6 days between now and when we all meet again in this place. That is one chapter a day of the book of Ephesians. If you have a regular reading plan, then that's okay. But if you don't, you don't have to confess it, but try this. 6 chapters. It's amazing stuff. It tells us all about where God places us when we become a Christian, the authority he gives us, and how to deal with one another and how to honour him. So if you want to have a quick catch-up with the whole of the book of Ephesians, one chapter a day for the rest of the week. If you are from year 2 above, you can read it yourself. If you're in year 1 and younger, get your mum and dad to read it to you. And we'll see how we get what changes in our lives over this next week. So we're going to turn to chapter 6, verse 10. If you've got a Bible, or indeed if you have an electronic device, children, with the Bible on it, now you can use it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It starts off, "Above all, be strong in your faith and dependence on the Lord, on his might and power." So to get ready for the battle, the first lesson is be strong in your faith and dependence on God. Yep. On his might and on his power. So that's quite exciting, because the first thing we learn is the victory in this battle that we face is not dependent on our strength and ability. Phew. It's not dependent on our strength and ability. Really important. So, who would like to stand against the enemy and all of his tactics and all of his ways to disrupt us? Who would like to be able to do that? Just about 4, 5, 10, 15? Any more? I'll take it that it's all of you. That's why you're here. He has provided his protection for you in several ways. Clothed with his gifts and resources, you will be able to stand against all the devil's disruptive tactics. All. So if you realise it's not about your strengths and ability, it's about trusting God. And if you clothe yourself with what God has already provided, there is a promise here that you can stand against all the disruptive tactics of our enemy. So, first thing we need to find out is, who is our enemy? Who is our enemy? Chiefly, our enemy is a thief. He has a purpose to steal from us everything, including our very lives, our peace of mind, our comfort, our relationship with God, and our very lives. He has a sworn plan to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what he's about. And the weapon that he uses is lies. So he's also known as the chief of liars. 99.9% of the ways that God's enemy comes to attack us as God's people is through a lie. A lie that you may hear in the media, a lie you might learn from a movie you watch, even a computer game you may play, a book you might read, a newspaper you might read. Those lies might come from people around you, from people at work, people at school, people who you have contact with on the bus. Have a look round. Sometimes those lies might come from people that you know and trust and love and who also know Jesus. And then if you imagine you're looking in a mirror, sometimes the lies come from you, especially when you're looking in a mirror. He fires his lies at you through every sense that you have. But here's the thing that we need to learn here. Our battle is not against the mouth and the person that is attached to it. I'm going to have to leave this area. It's not through the minion of the enemy. This is not your enemy. The devil's minion, remember, it could be something you watch, something you read, something you hear. Somebody out there, somebody in here, or you yourself, you can be a minion of the chief of lies because you either say or believe a lie. But remember, cute, aren't they? New movie out, hence, really funny, especially for grown-ups, maybe not so much for kids. But the reason I bought a cute and cuddly minion, apart from the fact that he is a minion, is because let's read what the scripture says. Your battle is not against people, but against the negative spiritual forces that influence and control them, against the spiritual rulers, authorities and powers that are at work in this world that is in bondage to the darkness of sin. They are in league with those evil spiritual forces that exist outside the world. So remember, our battle is not against the minion, it's against the chief of lies who is behind it all, trying to get us to believe the lies. This is mainly what our battle is against. It's against lies and things that aren't true. So just stop for a second and just have a think about this. Let's earth this a little bit in reality. Oh, you've got one too. Cool. Mine's more yellow. Just take a minute and think about this. Do you have an enemy? Is there somebody who you've allowed to become in your mind your enemy because they say things that destroy your confidence? They attack who you are. You feel bullied, or you feel ridiculed, or you feel slandered by them. And are you making the mistake of forcing all your anger and your bitterness and your unforgiveness at the person, when actually it's not the person? Because we've just learned that we ourselves can be that person to ourselves. Because we can be influenced by the lies. We're not under the control of the evil one, we're just influenced by the lies. So we can't do anything about the minions except what the Bible teaches us to do with our enemies. What does the Bible teach us to do with our enemies?
Pray.
Excellent. Pray. There's another word, starts with love. Love our enemies. That's right, well done. Pray for and love our enemies. Do you know why? Because the only person who can deal with what's going on in our enemy is God. There isn't anything we can do to change them. It's God's business. But our business is to pray and to love and to understand it is not the minion. It's the one behind. That's an important thing to learn this morning. Okay, right, so we're going to stand now. No, you don't have to stand. I meant we're going to stand on the truth. Sorry, misleading instruction. I'll tell you why. So accept everything God has made available to you to enable you to stand steadfast when evil attacks. That's how we're going to stand. Because you can stand sitting down.
Yep.
You can. So no matter what happens, you are able to stand firm and to remain standing. So our first piece of armour, because that's what God has given us, clothing. Now, this is another thing that's important to learn, is that we are not learning about the armour, we're learning about what it is. So many times as a child, I went home with a really excellent knowledge of Roman armour. That's not what I needed. I needed a really excellent armor, understanding of what the armor meant so that I could stand in the battle, even though I was only 7. So I have my first piece of armor. It is called the belt of truth. And so here it is, the belt of truth. Because this is what it actually is. A belt of truth to support you. So, that's what you need. Yeah, that's what we need. I'd let you wear it, but I don't think it will it'll go around 3 times, Alice. You won't be able to walk. The belt of truth. I'm not going to be able to wear that and talk to you. Who would like to come and wear my belt of truth? Somebody who's toolish. I think it's going to be even too big for you, Bill. Anybody taller than that like to come and have a go? Come on, Heather, you can come and wear it. Well done. Give Heather a clap. Heather's been a student with us this year, and she has faithfully served upstairs with the 5s, 6s, and 7s all year. So you probably haven't seen very much of her, but she's been a great asset to me personally up there. Very faithful, so I commend you for that, Heather, this year. It's been a blessing to have you. So there you go, you can go and stand over there with the belt of truth. Stand over there, right, the belt of truth. Ooh, careful. The belt of truth, because what is the antidote to a lie?
Truth.
Where's the truth? In the truth. So that's what we need to do. So that's why reading the Bible's so important, which is why I've set you the challenge of reading a chapter of Ephesians one day every week so that you can actually start to put your armour really on. Fantastic. Right. Next piece. The breastplate of righteousness. Here is the breastplate of righteousness. Hot off the press. The breastplate of righteousness. The real McCoy. Okay, boys, who wants to try it on? Andy, come on, you come and try it on. Now, I started to read a very long document about these. Oh, it's got a green label. Do you like to know what that means? Because I found this out in the document. Correct me if I'm wrong, Malcolm. But you can get these that are proof against stabbing and sharp implements, and that's either a red or a yellow label. You can get them that are bulletproof, which is either a red or a yellow, I couldn't remember which one. But if you get a green label, it means it's against everything. So bullets, stab, well, I have no idea how to put it on, mate. Oh, just be awesome. Thank you. So it's got metal, ceramic. I really did read the document. It was quite late. And I read a document issued by the government that tells you everything you need to know about police body armour, preparation for preaching. So that will protect you against sharp, pointed, stabby wounds and against bullets. Fully protected, Andy. The breastplate of righteousness. Would you like to go and stand next to Heather? Have you ever felt that when somebody had said something, you've come away and you've described it to somebody, it was like a body blow? What they said was like a body blow because it took the wind from you, or it hurt you, or it wounded you. So there is the protection that we need, and it comes through a gift from God. It comes through a gift of righteousness, being made right. That's what protects you, because you, if you know that you've been made right with God, that you've been forgiven, you've actually, not only have you just been forgiven for the things you've been doing, you've been actually given Jesus' righteousness. How righteous he was is what he's given you. It's not just, okay, I'm forgiving you. It's, I'm giving you my righteousness. I'm placing it on you like a piece of armour. So any attack from God's enemy that is a lie against you cannot ruin, wound, or hurt you, because it is a lie and it is protected because you've been forgiven and made right before me. That's what that means. So have you really understood that God didn't just forgive your sin? Jesus gave you his dollop of righteousness. He actually made you in God's eyes right. And that protects you from the lies of the enemy. Ooh, exciting one. Now, when you got ready this morning, probably guys, maybe not, maybe some, yes, if it was trainers, but you had to choose the right shoes for the outfit. Shoes are very important. You've got to be ready with the right type of shoes. There are occasions when you require different types of shoes. There are occasions when you require this kind of shoe. If you're going on a motorbike, you need to protect yourself from all sorts of wounds. There are times when you need shoes like this. Girls, everybody always needs shoes like this, whether they wear them or not. She smiles at her husband. Sometimes you need shoes like this. Look, see-through heels. How cute. You can get these with kittens on as well, can't you? I've seen those. Because everybody needs shoes with kittens on at some point. There are times when you've got to go to places where you need shoes like this. And there's even occasions where you need a pair of shoes like that. It's true. Your shoes get you ready for where you're going. So you wear the right shoes for the right occasion. Climbing a mountain? Probably not these. Although it's probably been done. Ballet lessons? Probably not these. England? Probably these. So your shoes get you ready. Now, what does the Bible say about being ready with our shoes? You wear the shoes of the gospel so that you are always ready for any eventuality and can walk in peace. So the reason you can walk in peace when you know and experiencing the gospel is because you have made peace with God. So you are at peace. So whatever situation you come to, you are at peace. And you can bring peace because you can bring the gospel. So that's how it works. I'm just going to go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. You used to be separated from Christ because of your sin. You were excluded from having citizenship in Israel, God's chosen people. You were outside the covenant relationship with God based on his promises. You were without hope for the future and had to live your life in the world without God. Look at the difference now you are in Christ Jesus and belong to him. Instead of living far away from God, you have been united with him through what Jesus did by shedding his blood for you. So he is our peace, because we have been forgiven and accepted by God, we are at peace with him. So you are prepared wherever you go because you are at peace, because you've been forgiven. And there is no situation you can go to where that forgiveness is not available to the people you meet. And that peace can be spread. So that's what that means. It's not about what type of shoes you wear. Right. Next item. Oh, here we go. The shield of faith. Now, for the shield of faith, I'm going to need some volunteers. Who would like to? Yes, come on then. It is yours. So, shield of faith. Now, the shield of faith is there to protect us from the lies of God's enemy. Now, faith is trusting God and trusting what his word says. Faith comes by reading his word, so we're back to our belt again. If you read the word, your faith gets built up because you know what God has said, you can trust him. So, God's enemy fires lies. The Bible talks to them about them being fiery darts. They're coming at you. What you can do if a fiery dart is coming at you? Good man. And what you have is you're trusting God. You're trusting what God said to you. You're trusting who God is. You're trusting the truth of what he's put in your life to know that whatever the enemy throws at you, you can go to the word. The Bible will tell you how to deal with it. You know how to forgive the person because it's not the person, it's what's behind him. And then we're going to find out what we're going to do to sort it out and attack back in a minute. But would anybody like to throw a fiery dart? Yeah? Are you ready for this, mate?
Yep.
Here's some fiery darts. Isaac, would you like to come and get the box of fiery darts? If you take them back to where you were. Now, guys, come and get some fiery darts and throw them at the shield of faith. Shield of faith, boy, go for it. Isaac, come on, mate, just go for it. Well done. You can get... Whoa, well done. That's what you can do. Excellent. Cool. Keep going. Your faith is like a shield that you have to take hold of, as you can see. And that enables you to overcome anything the devil throws at you. Well done, boys. You can go and sit back down. Thank you very much. You want to go and stand with the guys holding all the bits for me? Well done. Okay, fantastic. Okay, we've got one more piece of defensive armour. Actually, two more pieces. So, two volunteers. Is this size related? Phil, are you here?
You want to wear that, don't you? Because it's yours. Yeah, okay.
No. I'm going to say probably Isaac can.
Isaac can. Come on then, Isaac. Want to wear the Iron Man one?
Okay.
Yeah. Joel, do you want to wear this one? Yeah. Want to get Daddy to help you put it on? Because I'm not sure. Oh, there's all sorts of exciting things in there. Just come right up so you're not near the edge, because I think... There we go. Right. It's going to squish. Well done, mate. Don't switch it on, because otherwise... There you go. So, yeah. Well, it's going to get a bit warm in there. Well done. Now, the helmet of salvation.
What is Jolly doing?
What is Jolly doing? Good question. Let's find out. The helmet of salvation. Knowing that you are accepted by God and forgiven of everything you did and said and spoke and thought protects you from the lies of the enemy. It's like it covers your ears so you can't even hear what he's saying. Because the truth is, you were born again. You got rid of your old life. You got a new life. All that you did and said and were has been forgiven. It's not only been forgiven, it's been covered with a dollop of righteousness that came from Jesus himself. It's yours. You know that you know that you know that you know in your knower that you are accepted and loved by God. And that encompasses and protects you, because chiefly the place we hear lies is in here.
Yeah.
So knowing that you are saved, that you have sureness, you know that you know that it's true, protects you from the lies of the enemy. Stuff can go on in your mind when you fill your mind with things that are not from the truth. And if you fill your mind with... I was thinking about it the other day, like if you had an empty glass head, because I think about things like that, and it was full of, like, rubbish... That if you took it out, and then, because it was me thinking, I thought of blue water balloons, and you filled it with blue water balloons, because that would represent the Holy Spirit, blue, because it's, that to me is the Holy Spirit's colour, and water, because it's cleansing. So your mind was full of things from the Holy Spirit that you've been revealed through the scripture. There wouldn't be any room for the rubbish. And when there's no room in here for the rubbish, you can make your decisions based on what God is saying to you, based on the word. You can be, the enemy can be silenced, because you've been protected by, you know that you're saved. Are you all right wearing that for a bit longer?
Yeah.
Good man. Excellent. You guys can stay where you are. Right, so we have... You stay where you are and let all the grown-ups see, because we want the grown-ups to remember this, don't we? You can go and sit with Daddy if you want, Joel. That's fine, mate. Thanks, Isaac. Do you want to go and join the others then? Yeah, if you want. Well done.
You don't do that.
It's okay. It doesn't matter. It hasn't broken. It's okay. It's okay.
Press the button.
Don't press the button that puts the noises on, or we'll all be executed by Iron Man. Okay. Might ruin the meeting and the service and the illustration. Okay, so believing the reality of your salvation enables you to reject the lying, the deceiving, and the accuser. So, goes on to say, we have all of these protective items to counter the devil's lies and his efforts to deceive you in your thinking. So we've got all this defensive stuff, but we've also got an offensive weapon. Yeah. An offensive weapon. Oh, hello, boys. Come on then. You've woken up. You did it together. It's quite heavy. Do you remember from GoGen, it's quite heavy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well done. Okay. So, the modern equivalent of a sword is a sword. Because it's just such a powerful symbol. Because this is what God's word, through the Holy Spirit, is like. Now, can you point it out, everybody? Yeah, cool, like that. You hold it up to where my mouth is, so it's like coming out of my mouth. Hold on. This is what God says happens when you pray. Well done. You can hold it back in. You get a sword pointing at you. When I pray, you get a sword pointing at you, so beware. Well done. You have not only a defensive shield, but an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Whenever you pray, depend on the Spirit to lead you and fill your prayer with his life and power, no matter what you are asking of God. How important to pray in the Spirit continually for all your fellow believers. So, the word of God, sharper than a double-edged sword, divides between what is of God and what is not. And what that means is, this sword that you can use like a sword, you can divide between, because you're moving in the word of God, that helps you to know how to pray and what to pray. If you listen to God and he clarifies what you're to speak, you're protected from anything the enemy's going to distract you with in this battle, because you've got all that sorted. And then you can wield this in the name of Jesus. But importantly, funny noise again. We are not fighting the people. We are fighting against the lies and the plans of the accuser and of the enemy, who is trying to destroy us all from what's out there, from what's in here, and from what's there. So once we have put all this into place, we are ready to stand. We are ready for the battle. We are ready to overcome the enemy who seeks to destroy us. And we've got that sorted so that we can go out there in the presence of God with the love in our heart, and we can start to see the harvest. We can start to see transformation in our neighbours, in our street, in our town, in the 25-mile radius, because we know how to stand strong, trusting God, filled with his strength, covered with his protection. But let me let you into the biggest secret of all of this. If you don't do it, it's just words. If we don't actually do it, it's just words. And then when it gets to Wednesday night and everything's gone crazy and you're collapsed at home and she said this and he said that and then that happened and then I got a phone call and then on an email I saw this and then I was sat there and then by the time I'd done that, I burnt the dinner, I went upstairs, I burst into tears, got into bed, looked at myself in the mirror, and that was the end of it. The reality is that that's what happens if we don't actually put into practice these really simple things God has given us. So one more time, we're supported by the word of God. If we don't read it, we're not supported by it. Yep. We're protected by the righteousness that God has given us. Do you really understand the extent to which God has given you his righteousness so that you can be free from the attack and the lies? We're a little bit out of shoes. Are you ready? Because you're at peace for whatever this week is going to bring, because you've got the right shoes on. Hold up your shield for me. When those fiery darts come, you trust in God because you're going to be able to bat them away. Are you sure that you know that God has accepted you? He's going to protect you from those lies. And then are you ready to start the day getting the sword out and praying? Hold up your minion. Praying for and preparing to love people behind the words, so you're battle ready, because this is just our first hour of the morning, because the actual job is to take the presence of God out into the place where we're going to see the change. And if we forget to get battle ready, we can't take the presence to the people. That's all I've got to say. What we're going to do is get into the presence of God. Guys, can you go and put all the things back in the box just whilst I finish talking to the grown-ups? Thank you ever so much. Thank you for helping. Thanks, guys, for putting the fiery darts back in the box. That's where they belong, I think. We'll extinguish them by putting them back in the box. So, the Bible is very clear about something. If we hear
from the word of God and we don't do anything about it, there's a word to describe us. Does anybody know what the word is? It happens on April the 1st. You become one automatically. You're a fool. If you hear the word of God and you don't put it into practice, you're actually described as a fool. And we are not fools. So just, the guys are going to come. Hey, good job. Thanks, Jude. There's one down there. Look, can you see that one?
I've got them.
You've got lots, haven't you? You can take them back over there. Good man. As the guys come and we're going to come into God's presence. So if you haven't come to the front with your children, I suggest that you do now so that they can come right up into the place where the presence of God is. Please would you help them to come into God's presence as we worship by showing them the right way of listening and being before God's presence as we come together. But just as we start to do this and as we begin with the worship, I just want you to just listen to what God is saying to you personally now. Is there one of these things that you accidentally forgot to put on a few times, and so you can see that that's caused a problem because you've been forgetting to put on part of this armour that's been provided for you? Is there something that's true that you heard this morning that you'd actually let go of because you'd forgotten that that was actually something you had to act on every day? But also, have you been making the mistake of seeing the person and not the enemy behind? And is there somebody that you need to forgive and pray for this morning? And set them free by you forgiving them before God so that God can work in them and we can see them healed and restored. And you can be set free too. So this isn't the end. This is the action time as we go up into God's presence. It's like we're cleaning our hands and our hearts as we go up into the holy place as we worship. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.